Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:38 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is October 29th. Well, again, this has been another extremely interesting day today. What we've seen is that Europe followed through on that extremely good performance that we saw yesterday on Wall Street, and we saw a number of indices up in excess of 9%. The DAX also held onto its remarkable gain yesterday and was down only 14 points today, considering the fact that it actually opened well down on the day and closed so close to yesterday's highs, is a testament to just how much short covering has gone on in that particular market, and also the fact that we are getting some renewed interest in equities feeding through in the current environment. What we also saw today was that the dollar was considerably weaker relative to a number of other currencies. The dollar index was down 2.5 points in here today, and the yen was also a bit weaker against a number of other currencies. Since the dollar and the yen have been the biggest beneficiaries of the collapse in leverage trading, and the fact that so many of these carry trades, and of course the yen and the dollar were the carry trade currencies of choice. Since so many of these carry trades have been closed, they have surged remarkably strongly, and we've seen they're probably some of the most accelerated moves against particularly some of the commodity currencies out there that have been seen in a very, very long time. But that does now appear to be starting to roll over. And as that rolls over, what we also have noticed is that there's been a massive correlation between the way that emerging markets have sold off and the advance in currencies. If currencies are now turning from being a headwind into a tailwind for a number of markets, particularly in the emerging world, then that is a net positive. You take that in combination with the fact that we have had such extremely strong moves. In fact, you'll see from a number of statistics that are posted in comment of the day today when I post it, you'll see that two of the biggest moves in the Dow ever have happened in the last 2 weeks. Now, aside of the fact that the rest of them happened in the 1930s, that is an extremely positive move because it tells us that demand is returning around this 8,000 level on the Dow, that those mid-October lows were important for a number of indices. I'll grant you that a number of particularly European markets have broken below those mid-October lows, but they are r quickly rallying back above them in here at the moment. That is extremely positive action. Now, another important development, of course, today was that the Fed cut rates by another 50 basis points. They're down to 1%. What we also are starting to see is that the FDIC, I think, and are starting to come together and talking about restructuring some of the loans that have been made to people at risk of foreclosure, and they're talking about pumping 500 billion into that market. If they can stop the pace of foreclosures, yes, it will certainly be a hit to balance sheets for a number of institutions if they have to restructure debt and to levels at which people can pay back. But it will be a positive for the wider economy because it will stop this pace of foreclosures. And the pace of foreclosures, of course, has been the motivating factor for the vast majority of the credit crisis to date. So that would be a net positive if, of course, it works. But what it is also an indication of is that the authorities are now very much intent with getting ahead of the curve. Central banks are, by their very nature, reactionary. And since they have decided, at least they've, as I think David has said, that they've crossed the Rubicon of being worried about inflation to being worried about deflation, and they're on their way across that Rubicon right now, they're willing to do whatever it takes to get this market back on its feet. Yes, it will take time, and we are almost certainly going to have further disclosures which are going to be startling in the depravity of what banks have got themselves into over the last decade. But there is a very good chance that we are in the end game for this particular bear market. Yes, there's more than likely going to be recessions in a number of different countries, and some countries are already in recession. But stock markets generally start to tip up well before recessions have ended. And while it is too early to predict that we have hit the absolute low for this market, I suspect that we're relatively close to it. We're certainly closer to it now than we were a year ago. And considering just how much markets have fallen, the degree to which sentiment has deteriorated, and of course the real fundamental reasons why this market has become so weak. And looking into the future, next year will be better, and the year after that is likely to be even better again. I don't know whether next year is going to be a positive year for stock markets. I don't think anyone else does either. But it is unlikely to be as bad as this year, and we stand on the verge of the possibility of a good rally into the end of this year. With these two big upward dynamics on the Dow in the last 2 weeks, this is bullish trampolining off of this 8,000 level. We could still have that market coming back down and testing it once more, but the internal dynamics of this particular range are strongly bullish, which gives us a little bit more confidence that the risks are to the upside in the short to medium term. What happens after any rally that occurs and where markets consolidate will give us a much better idea of where the low is going to occur for these markets. But for the moment, things are looking quite positive. Now, of course, the fact that you're having the dollar in particular weakening in here has had a very positive effect on commodity prices. You had oil up almost $5 today. That's the biggest move in almost a month, and it's coming from the $60 level, which is a bit of a round number. But what it would now need to do is push below that level to offset scope for this too, to rally a bit further. It's been an incredibly tight, consistent trend on the downside, and this move today is now pressuring the consistency of that tight downtrend. And I think there's good potential for oil to rally somewhat in here, especially considering just how much it's fallen. It's really fallen out of bed, and we are starting to see extrapolations of bearish forecasts, which is generally a signal that we're coming to the end of any particular move. We also saw that a number of the grains were limit up today. Corn was up 30, soybeans was up almost 60. I think wheat also had a very good day today, as did oats. Nickel was up 1,600 points. Copper was up 22 cents. So industrial metals getting firmer, grains getting firmer, the energy complex firmer, and the precious metals complex much firmer in here, particularly in silver. Silver was up over a full dollar in here today. So finding support certainly around the $8 level, or sorry, it was more like 850 yesterday, and that is quite good action. Of course, silver is extremely volatile, and all of these commodities are benefiting from the pullback in the dollar in here today. Now, considering just how far the dollar has rallied, there is plenty of potential for this to pull back quite significantly and still find support well above where the lows were relatively recently. Obviously, the Fed can't really lower rates very much further because there's only 1% left that they can lower them, and they're probably going to be reluctant to get down to zero, just like Japan did in the 90s, and of course, oh, quite a bit into this decade as well. So the likelihood now is that that interest rate differential, which is quite wide, is going to tighten, and we have decisions by the Bank of England and the European Central Bank this week, as far as I know. And I think it is extremely likely that we're going to get further rate cuts there as well. There has to be a concerted effort by central bankers to cut rates. And there was even talk today that the Bank of Japan is going to cut rates. And again, they don't have very much to cut either, but it would certainly be a symbolic gesture. So that is also an indication that central banks are attempting to work in a concerted way to support these markets. They have tried a number of things already, and they have plenty of more ideas as to how they can help to fix these credit markets. We also saw today that the Fed extended dollar swaps to countries such as Korea, Brazil, Mexico, and that is also helping to get liquidity moving once more. They've also been extremely active in the long-term commercial paper markets, and these are all extremely positive developments. The fact yesterday that we had one of the biggest short squeezes in history in Volkswagen is also an indication that the short sellers are no longer going to have it all their own way. And we are starting to see some interest on behalf of people with capital who are looking for bargains and have been unwilling to make acquisitions over the last few years, now looking at bottom fishing and looking at potentially making some acquisitions in this type of environment. Also, we have to be aware that you have the highly rated corporate bonds trading at over 5% above treasuries. Now, some of these bonds are such as GE. GE is a AAA rated company, and that's a remarkably wide spread for those bonds. And high yield, even accepting the fact that we're going to get a number of companies going bust over the next couple of years as this recession moves onwards, you're seeing a lot of these trading at 22% yields. With a 22% yield, all you've got to do is hold it. All it has to do is not go bust for 3 years and you make your money back. And that's incredible return, even accepting that the risks are relatively high. So it also indicates to us that there is a lot of fear in the markets yet, and it's going to take time for the investors out there to have confidence return. But for the vast majority of investors, they tend to wait for a trend to develop and then still doubt it, and they're climbing the wall of worry so that they don't truly allow themselves to become invested until a trend has developed quite considerably. That's not an argument for becoming totally invested down here at these levels, but it is certainly a cautionary tale for anyone who is thinking that there is no potential for these markets ever to recover. These markets will recover, things will get better, it will take time. And as markets begin to find support, hopefully above recent levels, then we can start to think about gradually building positions. And the great temptation is that we're going to work with the most recent experience that we all have, in which the only way to have made money as a long investor has been to sell the rallies. In 2003, that was the greatest temptation, because following the massive fall that we had from 2000 all the way to 2001, 2002, and into 2003, people had been pummeled by their experiences over the last few years, and were very eager, very eager to sell as soon as that first rally took hold and became even slightly overextended. That was why looking at a long-term moving average as being something that markets diverge from, and as long as that moving average is moving upwards in line with the trend, and the market remains reasonably above that level, then we can use retracements to the moving average as opportunities to increase positions rather than selling out on the rallies. And that is going to be something that will be a trading style we will have to develop as new uptrends take hold over the coming years, but is not something to become overly concerned with in the absolute immediate future, other than the fact that markets are very oversold, we're beginning to see support being found, and bullish demand coming in aggressively as markets move back towards lows that we've seen recently. That is setting us up for at least a short to medium term rally, potentially into the Christmas period and the early part of New Year. And after that, we hopefully will start to see some base development in a lot of these markets. But time will tell, and it is too early yet to predict very much beyond the last couple of weeks, or the next couple of weeks. Certainly, this has been a period in which one has become de-skilled because of the volatility. It makes predicting just about anything very difficult. But it is likely that volatility is starting to come back down, and we're unlikely to remain at such high levels of volatility beyond the very immediate future. And with that, by very immediate, I should say, before into the end of the year. And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time. David was out today, but he will be back tomorrow.